So I'm just sitting here with the air mic in his hand, which is really funny because he's already got a mic in front of him, but he's still air miking to the song. Good stuff, man.
Rockin'
I'm digging that. Christopher Slim.
The Christopher Slim and The Transmission.
Cool stuff. Check it out.
TheTransmission.somethingorother.
That's it. Yeah, we'll do it again. TheTransmissionRock.moonfruit.com.
Excellent.
We'll link it up to our site, though, so people can check it out also. Definitely interesting stuff to check out. But we have to keep moving on, though, because, you know, this is one of those nights. We got, like, 50 people coming on tonight.
Well, don't forget, this is Ghost Month on Ghostly Talk, so we got to talk to all these ghosty people.
Well,
now, that last half hour, though, ended up being very music-oriented.
Well, music-oriented.
But
band.
We did get some...
School band, come on.
School band, yeah, what can you
nostalgia
do?
Nostalgia is ethereal in its own right.
Speaking of which, do you know my 20th high school reunion was this past month?
Did you go?
No.
Thank you, Doug. they're all a bunch of Republicans anyway, so don't worry about it.
No, this is I couldn't go. This is my busiest month. What can I do? You know, I had to shop.
Did you give them a reason? Doing internet radio show.
Doing
can't
internet
come.
Radio show. Too busy.
Not allowed.
Love Doug.
Yeah. Love Doug.
Yeah.
Miss you all. Not.
No, they're actually a really cool bunch of people. As a matter of fact, the people who, or the guy who does the website for our graduating class. Did you know my graduating class has a website? It's like FHS1985.com or something. I don't know. Anyway, I got it in the email.
Here, look at the pictures of us all old and stuff now. Neat.
Well, he was my best, one of my two best friends in high school.
Cool.
And he listens to Ghostly Talk occasionally.
That was a graduating class of like 98 or something like that. 1898. Another old joke thrown Doug's way.
Well, I want to do a shout out, and I can do a shout out because I'm a co-host of Ghostly Talk.
Yes.
I also invented Ghostly Talk. So
yes,
I can do a shout out. And I want to say hello, Mark LaGault, and hello to all the FHS graduates of whenever we graduated, 1985 or something, or 80. I think
85.
1885. And hi to everyone. I hope you enjoyed the high school reunion. Sorry I couldn't be there.
Too busy being a rock star.
What can I say?
I
did an official shout out.
We have another one of our field reporters.
This is a very exciting guest for me.
Oh.
Yes.
Doug, you take over the runners then. The mic is going off.
This is a very exciting guest for me. This will be a very interesting half hour, and that's because it's very rare that I send out an email. Extremely rare. And I've actually done a couple in the past 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Right? One of them I sent, of course, was to Death Bones, because there was a whole big to-do about that.
Mm-hmm.
But the other one that I sent out, I actually sent an email to who we're going to be talking to,
mm-hmm.
Because he had posted an article on the Ghostly Talk site
mm-hmm.
that I was extremely interested in.
Mm.
So I dashed off, one or two, I might have actually dashed off a follow-up
Ooh.
Email. I know, can you believe it? We'll have to ask him. And it was regarding making money
mm-hmm.
on, you know, the paranormal realm, like when you provide services,
mm-hmm.
paranormal-style services,
mm-hmm.
such as, you know, ghost hunting or mm-hmm. counseling or investigations or whatever.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
When anything related to the paranormal, then, you know, charging money for such a thing.
Mm-hmm.
That was what the topic was. And it was a news article on ghostlytalk.com.
Mm-hmm.
So I felt obliged to send an email to get more information and ask about it. And I did. Can you believe it? And he answered back. So evidently, I'm the only person who does not respond to emails.
I think we've narrowed it down now, Doug. You are the only person who does not respond to emails.
Yeah, I am the one.
Well, let's, let's get him on.
All right. Let's get him on. Right.
David, are you there?
I am here.
Ah, he's here. David, welcome to the show. Do we want to knock the knighting thing out real quick here? Do we want to do this first, guys?
Just as a small note, he is in Georgia.
He is in Georgia.
Ah.
He's in Georgia.
Georgia.
All right, that sucked. All right. So do we want to knight him right now?
Stayed at the Haunted Red Roof Inn in, out just north of Atlanta, Georgia.
Oh, okay.
I talked about it on a previous Ghostly Talk.
Yeah, I know you
y'all know about it.
Y'all.
Where was that?
It was just north of Atlanta, and it was it was right next to a Waffle House.
imagine that. I'm surprised it wasn't next to two of them. Yeah.
Well, there was one on one side and one on the other side of the street.
But they actually got every corner of the building has a Waffle House, so you can't escape it.
Like, you have to go to Waffle House.
You'll be shot down if you try to cross over. It's like trying to cross a strike line, like for one of the big three. You'll get beat up if you try to cross over and go to work or something like that. David, do you want us to knight you right away?
Sure, I haven't been knighted in a long time, so.
It's been a while.
It's been a while, yeah, why not? Let's just get this thing out of the way. All right, you know, I really would like to see Doug knight somebody. Doug, why don't you knight him?
I can't possibly do it as good as you.
Okay, Will, why don't you?
Doug.
No, come on, Doug. I couldn't possibly.
Doug.
I am not that good.
I think you're the only one who hasn't done one yet.
Yes, I have.
Oh, you did?
I did one.
Oh.
You did one?
Yes.
Well, that's when you weren't here.
When you were here, I had to do the knighting.
Oh, I don't think I've heard that. I'll have to check that out. Yeah. Okay, I'll do it again.
He won't listen to the shows that I'm on. Yeah.
You're on every show. What the hell are you talking about? I edit the shows. I mix them down. I put them up on that internet thingy thing we have. You load files on and stuff. What are you talking about, man? I don't listen to the show. We're having a meeting after the show. I'm getting more corporate right away.
I gotta get my attitude adjusted.
David, please.
Go to the woodshed.
Pick out your switch.
David, please repeat after me.
Okay.
Well, first bow your head.
It's bowed. It was bowed when I answered the phone.
Now that's reverence. That is reverence.
That is total awesome. Reverence. Wow. All right, Dave, please repeat after me.
Okay.
I state your name.
I, David Chastain.
Do hereby oblige.
Do hereby oblige.
To wear little plastic finger thingies on my pinky finger.
Wear little plastic. Can you see me?
All right, come on.
It all
come
comes
on.
Through the internet. We know about it.
To wear little plastic finger thingies on my pinky finger.
And to take them on. To take them off.
And to take them off.
And put them back on again.
And to put them back on again.
And to shave my head.
Now, that's been done before. Shave my head. Shave my head.
And to worship at the altar of Ghostly Talk.
And to worship at the altar of Ghostly Talk.
Forevermore.
Forevermore.
Forever then.
Forever then.
And forever now.
And forever now.
Ghostly Talk, y'all.
Ghostly Talk, y'all.
I worship the altar of Ghostly Talk, y'all.
I worship the altar of Ghostly Talk, y'all.
Amen.
Amen. I was going to say in liberty and fraternity for all.
Wait, I'm singing.
Hey, wait, yeah. Doug the sword.
Too late, I got it out.
Okay, all right.
Yeah.
Cut his head off. Okay, good job.
All right.
Thank you. All right, great. Thank you, David. You are now an official Ghostly Talk field reporter. As a Ghostly Talk field reporter, you are entitled to all rights and privileges of a Ghostly Talk field reporter, which is nothing. So let's get on with it, shall we? What's going on your neck of the woods?
Oh, well, it's the big month of October. Of course, everybody's peak season.
Mm-hmm.
Seems like all those people that didn't want to talk to you throughout the year suddenly want your attention, so.
Yeah, you know, we are like the center of all conversation at parties this time of the year, it seems.
Exactly.
People come to you because they think you know something.
Right.
Especially us.
It's like, and then you try to explain it to them, it's like fishing without the water.
Isn't it? Because, I mean, Well, there are certain. There are, you do try to explain concepts to people, and so there's like these circular thingies that go in pictures, and you're like, yeah, those are called orbs. It's only a three-letter word. Can you understand that? Speak orb. Say orb, please. And then you try. They still don't understand it. Are there any? You are a ghost hunter yourself. Am I correct, David?
Right. Yeah. I actually I have my own little group of one, and then I also belong to another group called Historic Ghost Watch.
Oh.
And I'm one of their interview directors and also lead investigator.
Ooh, you're an interview director, really?
Right.
Do they have a website? Do they have a website you can pimp?
Well, he should be interviewing us then.
I know. What are we asking you questions for?
Yeah, you should interview us.
Yeah, they brought me on as an interview director because of my experience as a law enforcement officer, a police officer.
Oh.
And I had some training in what they called detection of creative deception.
Oh, really?
Kind of narrows the field a little bit when you go to talk to people who, you know, make certain claims. So.
You are a real asset, then.
That's really cool.
I mean, I don't mean to, like, make you into an asset or anything like that, but say that again, detection of, what was that again? I'm sorry.
Detection of creative deception. It's a discipline within law enforcement. They actually have a lot of standards and things around that sort of a field. There's one organization that actually certifies people in forensic interviews. So there's a lot of science that goes behind it.
Can you, because I really would like to learn a little bit about this, if we can. This is very, very cool. Can you give me an example, like a situation, when you did this, like, you know, I don't want names or anything like that, but, you know, can you give me an example of a situation you were put in where you actually had to apply some of these concepts?
Oh, well,
I mean, I hope that wasn't too open-ended, but usually my questions
are. Well, it's a little bit because I didn't just use it in law enforcement. I use it in a lot of different areas, including personal life. I have a 16-year-old son, so.
Oh, yeah.
He was cursed with you as a father.
I know, this poor kid can't do anything.
Yeah, I know. I can't get away with it.
He's not having any fun at all. Well, I mean, let's just try to apply it to the paranormal field. I mean, have you ever had to apply, like a concept, an investigation you were on, possibly?
Well, I'm trying to think. It's kind of like being asked to tie your shoes when somebody asks you, you know. I ask you how to tie your shoes. Actually, I went to lunch with a young lady one time that I worked with, and she told me she had once belonged to a secret organization, and, you know, it sounded a lot like the Freemasons, that type of thing. You know, you do everything for us type. And, you know, when she first started talking about this, I thought, okay, this is a line of crap, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But I actually... You know, it's not like second nature with me because I didn't do it as long as some of the people in the field have.
Well, yeah.
So I actually have to kind of turn it on. I have to think about doing, you know, watching for the signs and the verbal clues and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
And the interesting thing was, as she, you know, she was into it for about 2 minutes, then I started paying attention.
Mm-hmm.
And she showed absolutely no signs of deception, so it was kind of a scary situation, you know, that she was describing there.
Really?
But, yeah.
Well, what are these cues you have? That's what I'm interested in. What are these cues that you would look for?
Well, kind of like with a polygraph examination,
mm-hmm.
The reason that these signs manifest is from stress.
Okay.
So if someone knows that they're lying, or, you know, they have to feel uncomfortable about it for those things to appear.
Okay.
In some cases, you know, it may be physical gestures with their hands. They may do things with legs. And I'm sure everybody's, you know, learned a little bit about body language.
Well, yeah.
You know, with the crossed arms and stuff like that.
Well, wandering eyes is always one I watch out for. If somebody's trying to hand me a line of BS, I usually, that's one thing I've always done. I know Doug knows this, is that I'm a very big eye person. I always...
Right.
When I talk to someone, I'm looking them dead in the eyes at all times. And if they say, well, are you telling me the truth? I look them dead in the eyes and say, yes, I am telling you the truth. You know,
right.
That's a real big sign for me.
Eyes can be very huge in this field. But that can be affected by what type of person it is, you know, that you're talking to. Some people are more emotional. Some people are more oriented towards sounds. And some people are more oriented toward vision. And that's the vast majority of the population are people who remember things visually.
Mm.
And there are things that go along with the direction in which their eyes go when they say certain things. And, you know, it's actually, I've been asked to present on it a couple of times to, once to a team, a specific team. I went to one of their team meetings, and then back in July, I went to Patrick Byrne's ghost stock down in Savannah.
Okay.
And I did an hour panel on it. So pretty interesting things. And I don't see it being applied very much in this field. So there's only one or two other people that I've even come across on the Internet who do witness interviews from that perspective. So
that is an interesting approach, and it's something, it's like, it's one of those things that it's right on the tip of your tongue, too. Like, you know, we need somebody to really cut the fat, so to say.
Right.
And get rid of the people that are trying to that we know, David, you know, too, that there are people out there that just, well, they need a friend.
Right, yeah.
And they're willing to lie about certain things to get a friend.
Well, I met a lot of those people when I was a police officer, too.
You know, they
would make claims about, you know, whatever. Sometimes it was paranormal stuff, but sometimes it was, you know, government agents breaking into a building or something like that. So, and, you know...
Sounds like me.
You see a lot of that going on. But, you know, you tend to realize when some people are just looking for, you know, they're looking for attention, you know, and they get that attention by making certain claims. So,
well, you know, you go to a murder scene and the guy's standing with blood in his hands. You know, I don't know what happened. This blood just materialized mysteriously on my hands.
Right.
I just came here to drop off the mail and I found this dead body here. And the blood just kind of... what knife in my hand? What are you talking about? This knife flew in my hand. Some ghost grabbed this knife and threw it in my hand. I don't know. I mean, obviously, that's the situation you're talking about where you're like, okay, buddy, get in the back of the car.
Generally, in those situations, you don't have to do a great deal of interviewing because you got all that physical evidence.
Well, yeah. Yeah.
When it comes down to the actual account, you know, when you don't have physical evidence, sometimes you can kind of crack things open a little bit just by talking to the people. So,
mm-hmm.
You know, my hope in this and using this type of thing and maybe teaching it to some others is that, you know, I see the false claims as kind of like static, and, you know, people are trying to dial into a specific signal here, and, you know, if we can get rid of some of the static, then we can really focus on the real cases. So,
what happens when, for example, there's got to be people out there who are unsure?
Mm-hmm.
They're pretty sure something happened, right? You know, I saw this ghost floating at the end of my bed or whatever. But then when they go to actually do the polygraph or actually do the you know, the question answer session with an expert or something like that, and they're fidgety and their eyes are darting, and you're just like, okay, all the signs of them, you know, not telling the truth are there,
mm-hmm.
Yet they're trying to report something, and they're sure something happened, but they don't know exactly what it is. But they're filling in the gaps a little bit,
mm-hmm.
And they know this, so they're thinking, so they're reacting like they're lying. See, for example, I'm pretty sure that if you hook me up, you could hook me up to the ultra super secret sensitive polygraph, and I would say, you know, they would say, did you see a ghost? And I would say yes, and I would pass, because I'm absolutely positive that I
mm-hmm.
almost killed Scott L. because I saw a ghost,
mm-hmm.
and I'm absolutely positive about that. I know that happened. I didn't have to fill in any gaps. I didn't have to interpret what happened, because I know what happened. I was there, and so was Scott L., and I was there. But what if you woke up out of a dream and you saw this thing at the end of your bed and you're kind of wondering, and so you go and you say, oh yeah, I saw a ghost, and then all of a sudden people are asking you all these questions and you don't really know the answers, so
mm-hmm.
But you want to sound good, and
right.
So you fill it in a bit.
Does
that come across, like, do you take that into account that people...
Yeah, actually, if I have to prep a witness, you know, before an interview, which I usually, you know, if I do have to do an interview, I do prep a witness.
Mm-hmm.
I'll tell them, you know, I don't know is an acceptable answer. You know, don't tell me anything that you don't know to be true or don't believe or feel to be true. You know, don't fill in the gaps. Don't make up anything, you know,
mm-hmm.
Because that will kind of start leading us in the wrong direction.
Well, totally. It'll skew all your evidence more or less right there. That's what it sounds
right.
like.
Right, and it's not a failure to say, I don't know. I don't know is a perfectly acceptable answer, or I don't remember, you know. Now, there is a part of the deception detection in which, you know, I don't know and I don't remember actually starts manifesting or just, you know, presenting itself as deception. So,
oh, okay.
Oh, interesting.
It's all in context. So.
Well, here's another question. I mean, I hate to grill you on all this, but what if you're dealing with someone that's just a stone-cold sociopath, and they have no... I mean, there's people out there.
I know some of them.
There's we've met some real sociopaths in our day, and they had no problem with lying. They were, I mean, we didn't put them to a polygraph.
Right.
But I'm wondering if there's people they've put to a polygraph and they come across positive. They come across, they are telling the truth.
Sure.
And they didn't they're not stressed by not telling the truth. That's what I was going to say
is they've mastered their ability to suppress the stress, you know. And that's a valid concern. I'm actually writing a kind of like a guidebook like Troy Taylor and Joshua Warren have done with their, you know, ghost hunter guidebooks.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm doing one for the paranormal witness interview. And I'm putting some, you know, some cautions in there. And some are about emotionally disturbed people. Some are about people who may have been trained to lie. You know, there's not very many of those, but they're out there.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, there are some who, you know, have told themselves the same story for so long that they now believe it. You know, it's a matter of belief. You know, if they believe it actually happened, they're not going to show the deception signs. If they don't believe it's going to happen and they have any kind of conscience, then they'll usually start showing the stress. And there's some things. It's not just, you know, did it happen? You know, there's also some digging in the way that you frame questions,
mm-hmm.
and you make them access either creativity or memory.
Mm-hmm.
And when they do that, that's when the sign starts to show.
Well, yeah, they start accessing the creativity.
Right.
They're filling the gaps again.
Right.
They're filling the gaps, and that's where the deception comes from. That makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
That makes total sense.
Well, have your agent send us a couple of these books, and we'll put you on ghostlytalk.com.
Okay.
No. We'll actually get some. Let us know the status of that project.
Definitely.
Sure. I'm trying to write it right now. I'm trying to, you know, it's kind of a, I hate to say it that way, but compared to law enforcement instruction, it's kind of a junior version of it.
Mm-hmm.
You got to start somewhere.
I'm not going to be trying to train or, you know, teach people to the level that law enforcement officers need to know. It's more of there's a safety issue in there. You know, if you can detect something in an interview before you get in the dark with these people,
right?
It's safer that way.
Absolutely.
You may save money and time by not going to the site because you find out this person's a dead liar. So, you know.
We need people. We need more people like you out there, David. We need thousands of ghost marshals like you out there keeping an eye on the paranormal community, because, you know, it's positive as, you know, things are with what we do. We think it's a wonderful hobby to get into. It's a wonderful thing to do. We love doing ghostly talk. We always throw up those cautions,
right?
And they're what we're talking about right now.
You already publish a lot of stuff. I mean, you publish it on those websites, right?
Yeah, I've written a few. I've always had a kind of a little penchant for writing, and it's, you know, I picked up most of my vocabulary from reading, and then you know, I've always like to write a little bit, and I do better in written word than I do in spoken word. But I've done a couple of articles here. I got four or five on my website there, and you know, Paranormal News picked up the one that is on Ghostly Talk as well, the financial remuneration article. So I'm trying to do more of that.
I wonder how Jeff is doing.
We haven't talked to Jeff in a while.
No, a long time. We should.
Oh, from Paranormal News?
Yeah.
We need to pop him an email.
Buzz. Yeah.
We haven't talked to him in forever.
I hope this isn't my 15 minutes of fame, because I also got profiled on Ghost Villagers newsletter.
Oh, cool!
But this month, so it's like it's all lining up.
Jeff's coming on next week. Jeff's going to be on our show next week. He's going to be on here next week, actually.
Yeah, that's a really good website too. I like visiting that one.
Phenomenal site. Unfortunately, David, we didn't get to talk about any of you. Oh man,
well that's okay.
We're totally out of time.
That's okay.
But you know, I think we learned a lot here. I'm really into this, and I want to talk more with you about this, if that's okay, David.
Sure. You've got my number.
These are some very interesting things I'd like to discuss with you.
Well, that and being a field reporter for Ghostly Talk, you get time. That's why we went to 3 hours.
Mm.
So if you need time, if there's something you want to talk about, you just drop a little line and say, hey, I need some time, because that's what you get.
You're going to come back on time and time again.
I hope so.
Especially you. I'm liking what we're...
Yeah,
this is some very cool stuff to learn.
Stuff.
Very cool. David, thank you for coming on the show. Thank you so much.
No problem.
We'll be talking
glad
to you
to
soon.
Here.
Yeah, if we don't talk to you before Halloween, have a great holiday. We'll talk to you soon.
You too.
Bye, David.
All right, bye-bye.
Super cool. I didn't expect to walk into something like that.
David Chastain. I know. That was amazing.
Georgia's field reporter. We're going to really need to follow up with him some more.
We got a whole show with him.
We got a very special treat for you guys. along with us being here. I mean,
well, yeah,
you know how that is. It's sweet and sour all the same.
We show up all the time, yeah.
People have been asking me, and I'm tooting my own, about the guides, those goofy guides I wrote a few years ago.
Yeah, yeah.
And last year I did an audio presentation of guide number one.
Yes, you did.
Well, I got some motivation because of the whole season and all the fun happening and all my allergies and stuff popping up, and I decided to do guide number two.
You kept me quiet for like 5 hours. It was horrible.
I was out here cutting tracks this week, and I'm like, you need to, well, he went to sleep.
You were here at the studio.
Yeah, I recorded it in the studio. Yeah, I'm like, Will.
I put the sock in my mouth so I wouldn't snore.
Yeah. I knocked him out.
Dirty sock, too.
Oh, yeah. Man. You could use a clean one.
It was a sock I put on the doorknob. But I was able to complete Scott L's guide to starting your own ghost hunting group, which is part two in the series.
Right.
And I'm going to try to get the rest. There's like five of them I have to do. I'm going to try to get the other ones done before the end of the year. Yeah, right. We'll see if that happens or not. I busted my hunt. This is like 10, 12 hours of work I put into this thing. It was pretty intense.
Okay, so wait. You had, what was the first one?
The first one was Scott L's guide to joining a ghost hunting group.
Ah, and this now one, this is Scott L's guide to starting
this
your
one's
own.
This one's after you ditch all the losers that you don't want to deal with no more because they're nothing but a bunch of losers.
And you start your own.
You start your own. So this is the guide for that. Enjoy it. I hope you... It was just another one we decided to do. I wanted to play for people tonight. I thought they'd get a kick out of it. So, hey, let's do that. We're going to come back with Keith Age from the Louisville Ghost Hunter Society.
Excellent.
Please note, this article written by Scott L. of Ghostly Talk in 2003 was intended for satirical and entertainment purposes only within the paranormal community.
Welcome to part two of Scott L.'s series of instructional compositions to assist the amateur ghost hunter or paranormal enthusiast in the decisions they will make while trying to prove the existence of the afterlife, or whatever crack-brain theory, belief, or drug-induced revelation your cult leader has uploaded into your CPU this week. Now that you are an expert on what to look for when looking to join a ghost hunting group, this guide can give you a good idea of what you will need to do when you decide to ditch those losers you mistakenly call friends in your old... Once you have drained them of what money and equipment you could pawn off to support your bisexual, midget, pregnant, donkey porn habit you have on the side. Taking the runners is a big step, though, and there are a lot of things you will need to take into account to create the illusion to your group members coming and going from week to week that they belong to a serious paranormal investigation powerhouse bound for global domination.
Ooh, yes.
So let's get to it, shall we? Number one. First thing you need to have is a mission statement for your group. A mission statement is a written or oral statement of purpose that can be used to initiate, evaluate, and refine all of your group's activities. It serves as a roadmap guiding you to the success you think you deserve. Don't take this too seriously, though, because after a while, between all of the intergroup arguing, drama, and sex scandals, you will completely forget what your mission statement is. Even if you did scribble it on that zigzag paper so you would not forget it, you have probably smoked it by now. Number two. Next, you are going to want to think of a catchy name to attract the suckers, I mean other ghost hunters and paranormal enthusiasts, to your group. The name should be something catchy and flashy, encompassing what the group does. It should be easy to remember and roll off your tongue like your blood after you have been socked in the mouth by your significant other for not changing the batteries in the TV controller again. To make this easier, acronyms may be a good way to go. Quick, easy, and it adds mystery to the group, because unless you take the Newport out of your mouth and tell them the whole name, people won't know who the hell you are. You see? Mystery. Ghost hunting. Get it? You may also want to figure in geographic location when trying to find a name for your group. For example, if you live in Pinar del Rio, Cuba, you may want to go with Cuba Ghost Hunters Group, CGHG. You may want to be a bit more specific, though. So go with Pinar del Rio Ghost Hunters Group. P-D-R-G-H-G. That is still a little narrow, though. I would suggest something like Pinar del Rio Ghost Hunters Society. P-D-R-G-H-S. To give it a more scholarly edge. But is ghost hunting all you are going to do? You better take that into account also. So you may want to go with something like Pinar del Rio Ghost Research Society. P-D-R-G-R-S. But does that name really encompass everything that your group will do? You need to remember, the name of your group is very important. It will decide the first impression a potential sucker, member, will get when they read it. Pinar del Rio Paranormal Ghost Research Society, PDRPGRS, may work, or Pinar del Rio Ghost Research Hunting Society, PDRPGRHS, may be a good way to go. But you should include your country of origin also. So ultimately, Pinar del Rio, Cuba, Paranormal Ghost Research Hunting Society, PDRCPGRHS, will be a great name. You see? Easy to remember, mysterious, and it rolls right off your tongue. Number 3. Okay, so we have a mission statement. We have a group name. What we need now is some pushovers. members. Once you have potential slaves, members, coming from all corners of the universe to become part of your group, you're going to need to develop a central means of communication of which you have complete and utter control of. Internet bulletin boards or message boards are an excellent means of gathering the minds that will make up your organization. Here, you all can gather whenever you want by means of the computer you stole from your mom to plan hunts, find out what each other looks like, or find out what sexual position each of you prefers. You want to make sure everyone makes up cool paranormal nicknames for themselves when posting on the board, like The Shadow or Orb Junkie, to enhance their message boarding experience. Number 4. While we are on the topic of the internet, your next natural progression to proving the existence of the afterlife will be to develop an internet website to complement your group's message board. If you do not know how to build a website, you can probably find someone you have lured into the group with the promise of sex with your sister to build a real nice website for you, the group. Now, this is good, because you now have a lot more free time to pop zits and give yourself paper cuts, as opposed to trying to learn HTML and do the site yourself. But now, you do not have control over the website. The name of the game is control, people. You have to be in control of everything over the group because it is your group, and it will be run your way. So, use caution if you are going to outsource the work on the website to another group member. Make sure they are a lot smaller than you, so in the event that your relationship goes sour with your webmaster, you can threaten his or her life until he or she gives up the source code to the website, and then you can bitch slap him or her and pee on his or her front porch. Number 5. By this time, you will have assembled a rickety group of misfits whose life's goal is proving the existence of the afterlife. They are passionate about their work, and it is their primary focus. You may want to set up a governing system within the group to make sure a few select members who have the most money and equipment feel important. Now, of course, these roles or positions will carry about as much importance as Pamela Anderson's view on Keynesian economics to you, but you can score a lot of rides to your job at the Burger Shack while your car is infinitely in the shop, man. Here are some roles you may want to consider having in the governing structure of your, the group. U equals president, which carries the same governing role as God. Schmo number one equals vice president, which equals V-I-N, which stands for very important nobody. Schmo number two equals treasurer. This is who you can borrow money from until you get your next paycheck. Schmo number three equals research specialist. This is the person who will spend hours combing the internet for info on locations to investigate, which you as the president can take full credit for. These are just a few of the fake titles that you can hand out to give the appearance that this is a team effort while still keeping a stranglehold on all of the activities of your, the group. Number six. Now that you have things rolling like a 20-ton block of granite, it is time to start trimming the fat, so to say. Sometimes certain people just don't fit the chemistry of your, the group, and they have to go. The only way to do this is to start multiple rumors about them simultaneously. Some good ones to get the water boiling are, dude, insert name here, is totally gay. He or she tried hitting on me. Or, dude, insert name here, was hitting on my girlfriend or boyfriend. Or, dude, insert name here, hacked into my Yahoo Messenger and told, insert name here, that he or she wants to stick, insert object here, and his or her, insert orifice here. This should get the person being ousted so angry that they will quit the group, thereby relieving you as the president of any managerial duty of having to talk to them on any adult level whatsoever. Repeat steps 4 through 6 until you are left all by yourself or your group dissolves. Just always remember, it is your group, and you will run it your way. Also, don't forget to have fun!
Well, that's a bit of nasty and funness.
Yeah. So I think I've sealed my fate to hell completely now.
Yes. Now you've alienated all groups. But actually, I recognize those situations in the various groups that I've been in. So
first of all, they were done for fun. The original things I wrote were done for complete fun to kill time at work, more or less.
Right.
People seem to get a kick out of them. People who have been in these situations before know exactly what I'm talking about. And I think groups are an absolute, ghost hunting clubs and groups are an absolute wonderful thing. I think they're great. They're just not for me. Not anymore, at least. I like doing ghostly talk. I like meeting all these wonderful people, like the person we're about to meet here in a second. I think it's great to go out and freelance and meet all the wonderful people out there and learn from them.
Right. Well, there's a lot of very well run groups. I know that Indiana Ghost Trackers.
Mm-hmm.
I know that the folks at Missouri Ghosts are absolutely fantastic. But, mm-hmm. There's so many people that we meet that are in groups that are just absolutely phenomenal.
They are, and if you get the right mix of people,
but
I think
they weren't around Southeast Michigan when
they weren't.
Know?
They weren't. You know?
And now they are. I mean, because we've got Grimstone, we have SEMGHS, mm-hmm. we've got so many great groups.
Great Lakes Paranormal Research.
Oh, GLPR. Mm-hmm. We've got so many good groups here in Michigan now.
They're working very hard. They're working very, very hard.
And they sure are.
And they're keeping it together. There's we all know that there is a dynamic you have to, and this is
in Maryland's group. There's so many different groups that are mm-hmm. doing so much good stuff.
Yeah,
we ran into a couple interesting ones though.
We know more than anybody what the group mm-hmm. dynamic is. You taught me that, Doug, and I've taken that with
and
the
it
runners,
happens.
And I've learned, and I've wrote filthy articles about it now.
You took little things that happened and you blew it up for satirical purposes.
Yeah,
and I think that was phenomenal.
It's all good fun. I hope you guys enjoyed that. What I'm going to do is with the...
It was very creative.
Well, yeah, thank you. Appreciate
that.
With Guide 1, the original one, and Guide 2, what I told Will before the show is I'm going to put those up as bonus archives.
Oh, excellent.
For people to download. If you haven't heard the first one, it's pretty goofy, too.
That was my favorite one of all.
But you can learn from it. If you take it in the context that it is meant to be in, which is why I put the disclaimer at the beginning of it.
Right.
You can learn from it.
Yeah.
I hope that's what people can do, and it just kind of killed time for me, and I had fun playing around with it. So cool. Let's move on, though. We have on the phone right now, we have Keith Age, who is the president of the Louisville Ghost Hunter Society.
Yes.
Keith, are you there?
I'm here.
Now, we were actually supposed to come down there to one of your guys' events about a month and a half ago.
Right, the Mid-South Paranormal Convention.
We couldn't make it down, unfortunately. Sorry about that. We really wanted to come down there and hang out. Schedules got all messed up, and we just weren't able to make it down there.
No problem.
How did that go, by the way?
Real well. We had about 10,000 people show up.
Yep. I told you, Mid-South is huge.
That's amazing.
It was huge when we started Ghostly Talk, but it wasn't 10,000 people, but it was huge.
That's a lot of people.
That's a lot of people.
And you guys featured a lot of speakers. I saw when I was checking out all the info on it. I saw a lot of people that looked very familiar. We've had them on the show here, so that's what before all the scheduling stuff happened, we were really really jazzed about going down there, because we were actually going to meet a lot of these people for the first time in person. So hopefully next year or sometime around with you guys, we'd like to come down there and do the same thing. Hopefully we can get it together next time to actually get down there and hang out with you guys.
That sounds great.
Now, you are the president, I see here, of the Louisville Ghost Hunter Society. And it's kind of funny that we're talking to you now after the horrible thing I just
played. Hey, what you just went through, that is so true on a lot of different ways. I put this thing together in 1996 and went from, 10 members to now I've got over 1,200 members.
Mm-hmm. Awesome.
And I was sitting there just cracking up listening to
it. Well, you've probably seen everything that we've seen and more because of just the sheer number of people you guys got.
Well, it makes me feel better that you actually enjoyed it and understood it too, Keith.
Oh, yeah.
Because you're obviously an authority figure on this, and if you are laughing at it, that means, okay, I did my job. I didn't alienate people. People actually got the point of what I was doing. That's cool. I'm glad to hear that. Thank you.
Yeah, it was great.
It can be... groups are a wonderful thing. I keep saying that. I think they're a great thing. I've met some amazing, amazing people that are all members of ghost hunting societies, uh-huh. ghost hunting research groups, and they put it together. And I can imagine, because we've done a lot of work with the Indiana Ghost Trackers, Keith, a group of 1,200 members, that must be a nightmare to manage, huh?
It can be.
I can imagine all the different people. I don't know how it's set up as far as an organizational structure, but I imagine you'd have to have some people that would have to disperse some of the powers to try to manage it. 1,200 people isn't a small number.
Right. We've got like 86 that are local and active, and the rest of it's just all over the world.
Mm-hmm.
And out of the 86, I've probably got like 11 people that are just real close around me, and they call that my little posse.
Yeah,
but these are the people that, when you ask and say, hey, I need something done, they're the ones that actually go and do it. It went from being a ghost hunting group to a charitable organization, nonprofit. Last year we donated almost $40,000 back to the city for various different charities and stuff. And, you've got to have the right people with you. If you don't, it's not going to work.
That is so fantastic and admirable. Congratulations, and keep that up, because that's awesome.
It only helps out people all over the place, not just in Louisville, obviously, Keith. It helps people out in other areas that, these aren't just a bunch of creepy people that run around cemeteries.
You're so northern. Pronounce Louisville for us.
Did I say
Louisville?
You always pronounce the S.
Yeah, the S is pretty much silent.
I'm really sorry I read it. Jeez, I'll tell you what, I'll just take this piece of paper and throw it in the garbage.
You're so
annoying. So I'll just be like, Keith, you're from the... You're
somewhere in the
South. Whatever, hey, no problem.
Here's a hint, Mid-South Paranormal. Yeah.
Mid-South Paranormal.
We'll go with that. I'll say it, Louisville.
That's it. There you go. Louisville, yep.
Or just make it real simple, LGHS, Louisville Ghost.
There we go, LGHS.
There you go.
Now, you guys obviously do a lot of investigations, and we were talking on the break a little bit, is there anywhere you wanted to talk about specifically? And you did mention Waverly Hills.
We've been the team that's been in there for the last 5 years, and the reason why we get a lot of things that we get from Waverly is because we all are also the ones that do the tours up there, too.
Okay.
Go ahead.
No, go ahead. It's all right. I'm just talking.
I was just going to say, Waverly can be, extremely active to being almost really intense to being completely dead.
Okay.
And we've got several places like that.
Well, that seems that's the motif of a lot of areas, too, it seems. I'm sure you've heard the stories. You get a story from somebody, and this house is crazy, man. Like, there's stuff flying off the walls. There's demons coming after me, poking me in the butt with their pitchforks.
Yeah.
There's all these insane things. And you get there, and you're like, it's like, just crickets chirping in the background,
It's like a lady called me and said she had Satan tap dancing on her table, and I got there, and I said, damn, I didn't have my camera.
Well, that'd be something interesting to get on film, right?
Yeah. Love to see that, yeah.
What are some of the things that have happened? I mean, have you had any personal experiences at Waverly Hills?
Yeah, Waverly, like I said, it can get pretty intense. We've got some great photographic evidence and some great EVPs. One of the things that we really started, you know, every year we find something new, something different is happening.
Mm-hmm.
And the first year we caught what was called, you know, we just called shadow people for the simple fact that, you know, that's what it looks like. You can't really make out any features or anything. It's just, you know, a shadow. And, you know, it ranges from one person to there can be 50 in the middle of these hallways. And the place leaks like a sieve because it's an old building that has been abandoned for 20 years. And what was really got my interest real quick was we knew we were the only ones in the building, and you could see these shadow images moving through the hallways. And when you go to investigate where they were, now you have actual footprints. And I'm not talking, you know, sneaker footprints. I'm talking hard-soled shoes, barefoot footprints, you know, and they would only last, you know, a certain feet, you know, like 2 or 3 feet, and then they'd be gone, just nowhere.
Disappear, yeah, they'd be totally gone.
Yeah, so every year we've kind of tried to do something different to figure something out. Well, we shadow people. Last year we finally figured out by the Corps of Engineers here built us a laser grid with motion detectors on every grid, every corner. And we laid this in the hallway, and these things actually broke the laser beams as they were walking through it. And when they broke connecting lines, they'd actually set off motion detectors. So that tells me these things actually have some type of mass to them.
Well, yeah, they have their solid in some way to do that.
Well, that actually corresponds with what my thinking about shadow people is. I really... The one that I had seen one once at Savage House.
Mm-hmm.
And it looked as... I mean, other than being completely black with absolutely no reflectiveness whatsoever.
It was going to be a black thing, huh?
No.
I'm sorry. I had to pull that out.
It also... Yeah, it looked like the evil spy from Spy vs. Spy, actually. But
yeah,
it
okay.
was... absolutely no reflective properties whatsoever, but it looked as real as anything, and it snapped a twig.
Yeah, you heard that.
I heard the twig snap, so I know that it was, you know, it had some kind of mass to it, otherwise it couldn't snap a twig.
And
so,
this corresponds with what Keith was talking about, too.
Yeah.
That it actually set off these motion detectors, Keith. That's
right. Right.
We got to get the GT engineers on one of the motion detector thingies.
Who are the GT engineers?
I don't know. We're going to have to find some, and then I'll email them. I'll actually write
them. You don't know me, but I've given you an email address, and I'm going to email you.
Well, I got lucky. We have General Electric here, and I just pretty much begged and pleaded. Say, please, you know, make this for me. They ended up doing it for me.
You guys got GE on your side?
Wow. Talk about clout, man. Yeah, that's awesome.
It helps when you have family that works there.
Oh, okay. All right. Yeah. That's good. But still, Jesus. Well, we went out and bought this cool new flashlight. Look, well, we just bought this $40,000 motion detector that has lasers that go out everywhere, and it burns a hole in the sun.
Yeah.
And we're going to catch ghosts with it.
And we're going to use it to catch ghosts. Shadow people, of course.
That's super cool. That's really great to hear, because, I mean, it sounds like that you guys are obviously putting a lot of thought into this. And that you're getting some results, too. That's very cool.
Yeah, and, you know, of course, it's that time of year now, so you get a little bit of everything, and everybody's saying, please come to our house. And, you know, so we try to limit it. I mean, we do about 150 to 200 investigations a year.
Wow.
And you guys know as well as I do, you know, 99% of it is, you know, somebody's imagination.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And, you know, or if somebody wants a ghost to be in their house, it's going to be there.
Right. Thank you, Keith. Thank you for saying that.
You know, it's like I tell my members before they even go into a place, you know, fear and adrenaline go a long way to make a ghost appear.
Oh, yeah.
And
you can convince yourself of almost anything.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, that's like, I had this lady call me 2 weeks ago and says, please come to my house. You've got to come investigate it and get this ghost out of here. And I'm like, well, first of all, you know, we just do investigating because, you know, we want the ghost to stay because we want to know what it's doing.
Yeah, we want to check it out.
Yeah, and the second thing is, I said, well, you know, what makes you think your house is haunted? She goes, it's my toaster. It's not my house. And I was like, excuse me?
Haunted toaster incident. I think there was a Hardy Boy adventure about that.
Yeah,
haunted toaster incident, yeah.
Yeah, she claimed it was her husband who had been dead for 15 years, and the reason why it was haunted because it kept burning the toast.
Okay.
And she saw the little button on the side, and she's like, that doesn't help. And I was like, well, when did you get the toaster? She said, a week ago. I said, well, take it back.
No, God!
Return it and get a different one.
Do you still have the receipt? Well, yes, I do. Okay, well, take it back then. I mean, get a new one if it's... Okay, well, did you actually go out there, or did you just like kind of end it at the phone?
No, I got to resolve this one over the phone. Okay. I got up here, and I tried to get her to throw it in the garbage. Wouldn't do that because then he'd be haunting her poor garbage man who come there every week.
Poor Otto the garbage man, you know what I mean?
I think she needed to bury that toaster in the backyard.
Well, I came close to that. She wouldn't take it back to the store where she got it from because she shops there, and she didn't want to be haunted by him when she shopped there. And so finally I had her just flip it over in a paper towel, and I said, now look at what he got. She said, oh, my God, I've got his ashes here. I said, there you go. Wrap them up and throw them suckers down the disposal. Ghost left.
I am so glad that you were able to.
And now she enjoys fresh brown toast.
Yes, golden brown, like the sunshine in the morning. Good morning, eggs. Good morning, toast. Yeah. Oh, my goodness.
We are all too aware of that. We're too familiar with it, too, Keith. I mean, I don't think I can't remember one that was quite that hilarious, to be honest with you. That's great. I'm going to remember
that. I've got a couple that are good. And they go all the way from G-rated to X-rated. You don't know what you're going to get in your email.
Wow.
You know.
Well, yeah, you know, and we get tons of emails every week, too. And, you know, and generally, you know, I have to say the people who email us, they talk about their experiences. They share them with us. And that's, you know, one of the underbellies of the whole thing we do here is it is about, you know, information and sharing these experiences. That's what Ghostly Talk's all about, to get these stories out there, get people thinking about these stories and try to find some reasons, right?
Right.
Unfortunately, some of those stories, like we just said a minute ago, they are your mind. They are your mind.
And I mean, you're right. There are some that 1% out there that we're looking for.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and, you know, like with Waverly, you know, when we were with a news crew and in Creepy Canada a week ago to film, and stand there with the news reporter, they're sitting there shooting us on film, and this chunk of concrete comes flying down the hall, pops me in the back of the head, and just takes me right off my feet.
Wow.
And that's the third time that's happened. And the first two busted me wide open, you know, and my immediate reaction is, wow, cool, did anybody get that on film?
Yeah.
You know?
You're sitting there with a massive head wound and stuff.
Yeah.
And, did anybody get it on film?
Yeah, I mean, you know, we've had meters just literally explode up there. I bought one EMF meter from Troy Taylor, and I was like, you know, in 20 years of doing this, I've never seen a meter just do this. I mean, literally, solder was running out of the back of it.
Did you return it?
Oh, yeah, I sent it to him, and he's like, what the hell did you do to this thing?
Like,
he says, you know, did you put it under a flame or what? I'm like, no. I was like, this is what happened.
We really
know. I said, you know, and he sent it back to the manufacturer, and they're like going, we've never seen nothing like this. And, you know, and with me being the American Ghost Society Kentucky rep, and I've been it since 1996,
mm-hmm.
me and Troy go way back.
Mm-hmm.
And I finally got Troy up to Waverly about 3 years ago. And, you know, I'll admit, I've never seen a ghost, you know, like me or you stand there talking to each other.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I've been telling Troy for years all the stuff that we're finding and documenting and everything. And he's like, yeah, right. You know, I don't know if y'all are familiar with Troy or not.
Oh, yeah.
And I get him up there and take him off through the building. It was pretty much dead. And we get down to one floor, and as we're going around this curve, this thing just walks right out in front of us from one room out to the outer solarium, which is all open. And he literally stopped and screamed.
Troy!
Awesome. Yeah. And,
oh, man, we're going to have to hit him with that one. We've had him on the show before.
We'll play this. We'll
play this for him.
That's okay, because he'll come back with one that I did the next year. You know, I just about decked a guy who put his face in a window, you know.
Oh,
I didn't scream. I just let out a real loud, well, we can't say it on the air. you know, we had this huge door we were all standing there, and it's just a metal door, and it just slammed shut behind me. Nobody saw it coming. And it did. It scared the hell out of me. And like I said, I can't repeat what I said.
I mean, we've all done it. Don't worry.
Mm-hmm.
I know exactly what you're talking about. And I killed an owl.
Yeah.
You killed an owl?
I made an owl commit suicide.
Yes, he did.
So
okay.
I saw it happen.
How did you get this owl to Do Harry Carey here.
Okay, all right. We were walking around an area, and we came around a corner, and I saw this little baby owl. I'm like, oh, look, it's a cute little baby
sitting
owl.
Sitting on a window ledge.
Well, he was actually sitting on the floor.
Oh, on the floor, okay.
And I saw, I'm like, hey, look, it's a cute little owl. And Will was with me. I think we were with Bonnie also. I think
Bonnie and Brad.
Bonnie and Brad and you and myself. And I'm like, oh, look at the cute little owl. And he's like, he's chirping at me, right? And I'm like, it's okay, little owl. It's okay. Come home with me. I want to have you sit on my TV. I think it'd be kind of cool, right? And I mean, I was going to feed him and take care of him. I was going to be the good Samaritan. So as I walk closer to him, he's backing away from me. I'm like, he just has to get used to me. I'm a lover of animals. I'm a humanitarian. You know.
You're going to feed him to your snake.
No. So as I'm getting closer to the owl, though, the owl jumps up on the window ledge, right? And I'm like, oh, no, now we can look each other in the face and talk, you know, okay, let's get to know each other a little bit, right? So I'm thinking, he's warming up to me, he got up on the window ledge, he wanted to talk to me, so I get a little closer, the thing jumps up on the window, like the ledge of the window itself, chirps at me a couple more times, which basically meant I want to end it all or something like that. And then he dove out of the window.
Oh,
straight
Lord.
Down.
Straight down. He was just a little guy, so he couldn't fly yet. So he just went, he came out, and we watched him go straight down. And this is like three stories up, too, by the way.
Yeah.
So the poor thing committed suicide.
Oh, my Lord.
I still, to this day, I can't bear, I mean, I'm surprised I could talk about it right now, to be honest with you. It was a very scary situation. Keith, thank you for being on the show, though. It's an absolute pleasure. If you'd like, we'd like to have you back on again. I think we can talk a lot more than the 25 minutes we've had tonight. If you'd
sure,
like
to
come back on, we'll talk definitely for sure. Thanks for coming on the show, though, Keith, and good luck down there. Keep up the great work.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Thanks, Keith. We'll see
thank
you
later.
Thank you,
Keith.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Now, that's some work being done down there. GE?
I know.
General Electric?
Well, you know, that's what happens. You gather your forces, and people who you know will do some things for you. I mean, you know, you say, well, we need something. We need, you know, some kind of thing to set up
and
to arrange, and then the great minds got together, and they figured out how to do it.
Yeah,
and I think that's absolutely amazing.
Will, play us some good old down-home music. What do you got there? What are we listening to now, man?
Transmission.
More Transmission?
Yeah.
Is this one of their bluegrass tunes? What are you looking at me like that for? Is this one of their bluegrass tunes or what? All right. Which one is it?
The name of the song is Terror Circuit Hypothesis.
All right, let's check it out. We'll be right back. Next we're going to have on Michael Henderson from A-Ghost.
Oh, awesome.
We're going to talk about a few things with him. And then we got, actually, at 8:30, we have Steve Boland coming on, who's one of our listeners.
Oh, excellent.
Whiplash. We got a lot to do. We still got a lot to get done tonight, guys.
This
just
is a cornucopia of ghostly talk.
It's a cornucopia. That was the name I wanted to give it. Cornucopia of Ghost Hunters.
Yes, the cornucopia of Ghost Hunters on Ghostly Talk. We'll be back right after this from the Transmission.